Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. As a person who wears glasses, I'm most concerned with wearing glasses to be able to see. Style and design are secondary to all of that. Without my glasses, it can be hard to read subtitles or wording on a television, and yet it is quite easy for me to read a book without glasses. When looking into the distance outside, I have no problem seeing my overall surroundings, but when I'm looking at a smaller object within that broader view, it can be hard for me to focus and distinguish exactly what I'm looking at. There are some people I know who have to wear glasses at all waking hours just to be able to get around. For people who wear glasses or contact lenses, or who use any type of assistive technology to discern what others see with just their eyes, these bring what others can see with just their eyes into focus so they can understand what is happening around them. Spiritually, it's important to also understand what is spiritually happening around us. And sometimes we overlook this concept. Paul spoke of the spiritual reality around us. Let's read that starting in Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Paul tells us that what we must spiritually fight against are not things that we see with our eyes, but against the evil influence brought to this world by Satan and the demons. We understand and accept this as Christians and often forget that not everyone is a Christian who has the same type of relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. We have biblical evidence that not everyone who reads the scriptures understands the intended meaning and how these verses would apply in our lives. Imagine being able to read words, but being blinded to the intended meaning. And yet that is what the Bible shows us in the account of an Ethiopian eunuch that Philip encountered as he journeyed from Jerusalem to Gaza. The eunuch was reading a passage from Isaiah and didn't understand what he was reading, acknowledging he needed somebody to guide him to understanding. Acts 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Philip was able to guide him because Philip had the Holy Spirit. But not all people have the Holy Spirit. If you continue reading the account of the Ethiopian eunuch, you would see that it was only after being baptized, acknowledging that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that the eunuch was able to rejoice through the Holy Spirit. A person who does not have the Holy Spirit may be able to read the words of the Bible, but is blinded to the spiritual meaning. They don't get it because they lack the spiritual glasses, spiritual contact lenses, or spiritual assistive technology to discern what people with the Holy Spirit can see. the Apostle Paul serves as a good example to us of a person being spiritually blinded. When the church was first formed, it was Paul who was very aggressive in going after the faith. It directly challenged what he believed and had been taught. Before his conversion, Paul was known as Saul, and the religious elite of the day knew if they wanted to persecute Christians, they better call Saul, you know, with my apologies to those engrossed in pop culture. On the road to Damascus, in a mission to find and punish Christians in Damascus, he found himself blinded on the road by the very person he was persecuting, Jesus Christ. Even though Saul was blinded by this encounter for 3 days, it was an eye-opening encounter for Saul, because for the first time in his life, he probably realized what he had been taught religiously was wrong. Acts 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Jesus Christ, whom Saul persecuted, was well versed in the scriptures and would use those as a source in presenting information to those around him, his followers and detractors. Jesus performed many miracles that the people saw, and yet most people did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus quoted Isaiah to explain that God blinds the eyes and hardens the hearts of non-believers so that they don't spiritually benefit. Notice John 12, starting in verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. The idea of blinding people from the truth so that they cannot spiritually benefit probably goes against the grain of how much of society thinks today, and can be confusing because of what the Bible teaches about helping people who have need. Yet God has spiritually blinded people who are not of the faith to prevent any spiritual benefit to them. Going back to the Garden of Eden, we sometimes overlook why Adam and Eve were booted from paradise. Let's read Genesis 3, verse 22. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden because they had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was forbidden to them. And if they ate of the tree of life, they could have lived forever having knowledge of good and evil, but without having the Holy Spirit that permeates all that is done through God. Jesus used blindness to teach the disciples how to respond to people who religiously disagree with us. During his ministry, Jesus annoyed the Pharisees because, having no religious authority, he spoke as one having authority. The teachings of Jesus confronted the religious practices of the time, and this caused the Pharisees to be offended. The disciples felt the need to bring this to the attention of Jesus, who told them to not engage the Pharisees, to leave them alone. He then added, these Pharisees were spiritually blind, and the people who followed them were spiritually blind, and both would be spiritually out of luck. Matthew 15, verse 10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. And then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. From Jesus, we can see that we don't have to actively engage those who are spiritually blinded. We can preach the gospel of the kingdom of God into this world, but we don't have to actively engage people who are spiritually blinded. We might need to defend ourselves for the hope we have within us, but we don't need to force others to defend themselves for the hope they have within them. Not until Jesus returns to establish the kingdom of God. Jesus taught us that we are to leave the spiritually blinded alone and let them be. Contrary to popular belief today that any person can come to Jesus Christ if they really want to, is the message directly from Jesus Christ, who taught that only those who are called by God the Father can come to Jesus Christ. Let's read John chapter 6, starting in verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. A lot of people believe that anyone can come to Jesus Christ if they really want to. And Jesus taught the opposite, showing that coming to Jesus Christ is by invitation only. And that means having the Holy Spirit is by invitation only. And being able to spiritually understand what is in the Bible is by invitation only. Once a person has that invitation, it becomes that person's responsibility to respond to the invitation. However, God does not allow party crashers, and in the Garden of Eden used cherubim with flaming swords as bouncers. Additionally, Jesus also taught that no person can understand God the Father without first coming through Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is God who must extend the invitation to any person who is called, and at that time, it becomes the responsibility of the person to respond to their calling, going through Jesus Christ as the gatekeeper to God the Father. As Christians, we have this invitation in hand, while many do not, described by Paul in 2 Corinthians, being lost and having the gospel of the kingdom of God, what Paul describes as the glorious gospel of Christ, hidden from them. This light shines brightly in the hearts of Christians so that the knowledge and glory of God in Jesus Christ are not hidden anymore. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Peter wrote of the same topic using different language in his first letter, using the imagery of being called out of darkness into the light. The physical world around us doesn't change much through the overnight period, but our perception of that world does change. My thoughts are that darkness hides what is ugly and light exposes what is ugly. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. People who are spiritually blinded do not see the ugliness that comes from sin. Just like the darkness of night hides the ugliness of the world around us that comes from rejecting God. Paul wrote that God's presence and majesty is proclaimed through the creation and described how many have rejected the Creator, who they cannot see, and embraced solely the creation, that which they can see. Paul is describing those who reject God and instead solely use the scientific approach to understanding the world around us. Paul then adds, because people are rejecting what is spiritual and solely embracing what is physical, they begin to worship all aspects of what it means to be physical, reducing God to something that was created and limiting themselves to knowledge of what is good and evil, focus on the physical realm. These are people who are blinded, having changed the truth of God into a lie, who become so focused on what is physical and the human body, sensuality becomes almost like a cult religion with all manner of evil thought, having no mercy, without natural affection. Let's read Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. In the first letter to the Corinthians, Paul writes that for us who are called, our focus is much different. We are not blinded to the truth, but live the truth each day throughout our lives, because the Holy Spirit has revealed to us God's incredible love for us. People who do not have the Holy Spirit cannot understand what we understand. So while their sensuality and evil thoughts fall under the broad category of sin in the Bible, they cannot even begin to comprehend these are sin. Remembering what Jesus taught, we must remember to leave the spiritually blind alone. Responding to the sin of the spiritually blind is not our fight until Jesus returns to establish the kingdom of God. We have the mind of Christ because we have the Holy Spirit. Just like the Pharisees sought to condemn Jesus because they were blinded to the truth and could not comprehend the light living in darkness, so we should not be surprised when we are attacked by those who do not have the Holy Spirit. Like Jesus, who might have been condemned by the Pharisees and was without sin before God, when we are judged and attacked for what we believe, no spiritual determination about us can be made by man against us. We can have confidence that God will complete the work in us, which he started. Let's read 1 Corinthians 2, starting with verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not without enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. In a second letter to the Corinthians, Paul wrote that what was dark can appear to be light, showing how deceit can be made to look like the truth, and how even Satan can appear to be an angel of light. Just because somebody claims the truth doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is present. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 7. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that he might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed, as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Jesus even showed the disciples that even not all who claim to be Christians will be part of the kingdom of God, even if they were busy sharing the message of Jesus Christ. It is those who do the will of God the Father who will be part of the kingdom of God. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Some might be wondering if a person has to be called by God the Father to come to Jesus Christ, only to have Jesus Christ as the gatekeeper to have access to God the Father, how they could claim religious faith without having the Holy Spirit, without being called. Jeremiah gives a very simple answer showing how the heart is deceitful above all things. People deceive others and even themselves to make their own personal narrative fit the world that is around them. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. As Christians who have the Holy Spirit, we should never be complacent with the spiritual vision we have. Going back in time while wandering in the wilderness, Israel was warned of the proclivity to become complacent in their lives and forget about God. God has to be part of who we are day in and day out, and our relationship with God has to be one of seeking God. We know through Jesus Christ we have access to God the Father, and we must still seek God. Having access to God without seeking God is like having a voucher for a free flight to a destination, but never booking the ticket or showing up to the airport. It may look nice and make us feel good about ourselves, but unless we seek God, having access to God without also seeking God does little spiritually for us. Deuteronomy 4, verse 25. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image, or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God, to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but ye shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, and thou shalt find him, and thou seek him with thy heart and with all thy soul, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, as thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee. nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which ye swear unto them. We seek God by doing what God tells us to do. We never lose sight of God. We never turn from God. We never allow ourselves to be blinded by others or our own deceitful heart. We guard the truth in our lives and teach it to our children. Deuteronomy 11, starting with verse 8. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong, and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it, that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, where ye sowest thy seed, and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in the fields and thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to the love of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to cleave unto them, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place wherein the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness in Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall be your coast. There shall be no man able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you. Paul warned Timothy that in the latter times some would depart from the faith, doing exactly what Deuteronomy 11 warned against, replacing the teachings of God with their own ideas. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Paul also warned Timothy that during the last days, perilous times will come, with people described as ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that no person can come to Jesus unless the Father draw him, and that no person can know the Father unless they come through Jesus. With this faith and through the Holy Spirit, we are no longer blinded, just like the Ethiopian eunuch was no longer blinded after receiving the Holy Spirit. Having the Holy Spirit and spiritual vision, it is our responsibility to remain faithful to God, knowing that we do not fight against things we can physically see, but those things that try to steal the Holy Spirit from us. And to win this fight, we must wear the armor of God. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It is the Holy Spirit that serves as our spiritual eyeglasses, contact lenses, and assistive technology devices that help us to discern the spiritual world around us. Having the Holy Spirit, it is our responsibility to remain faithful to God, never forgetting about God, and never embracing false religious teachings that lead to spiritual blindness. We need that spiritual vision if we are to enter the kingdom of God, and we must diligently seek God throughout our life in all we do. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.